Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Pursuit of God, wrote of how to gain greater unity. Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. It is true that the church will find unity by looking to its Lord and Savior. And the unity of the Spirit teaches us to look to our one Lord. God desires that the church look also to the standard of the unity of the Spirit and its truths to bind our hearts together. In doing so, this unity of truth unites us according to what God is doing today under grace. God's truth from His Word is to be what unites the church. Ephesians 4:3-4 reads, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." The word endeavoring means to make every effort, to labor, to be earnest and diligent. And the church is taught here to earnestly make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul does not teach the church to create or make unity, but to keep the unity of the Spirit. The word keep means to guard, to attend to carefully. We are instructed to keep the unity which the Holy Spirit has already made. This is a doctrinal unity. Doctrine, the teaching of God's Word, is what is to bind and unite the church together. This unity of the Spirit concerns the foundational doctrines for the church under grace. And Paul teaches the body of Christ to keep, guard, carefully attend to, and take a stand for the 7 doctrines contained in the unity of the Spirit. Preservation of this unity of the Spirit is to be the diligent and earnest concern of the individual members of the church. We are to endeavor and labor to that end, Paul wrote here. It is the unity of the Spirit because it is truth from His Word, the Word that the Spirit inspired. And it is the Spirit who enlightens us to these truths. And it is the Spirit who can unite the hearts of believers together under them. And we are to work hard to guard this unity, Paul says, in the bond of peace. The unity of doctrine has its origin in the Holy Spirit, and the bond of believers who guard, stand, and unite under its truths is to be done in the peace which is a fruit of the Spirit and takes place by His enablement. To preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, we need to know the truths that are to unite us in the church, and importantly, to understand them according to the truth revealed to Paul for the current dispensation of grace. There are 7 ones in verses 4-6 that are true of all believers under grace. And the number 7 refers to divine perfection, completion, and wholeness. The unity of the Spirit is a unit. It is 7 but 1, as all 7 of its planks connect with each other. First, Paul wrote that there is one body. Ephesians 1:22-23 defines the one body as the church. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, that passage reads, "And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. There are many different churches and denominations in this world, but there is only one true church. That one church is the one body, the church, the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a living spiritual organism made up of members who have life in Christ. From Paul forward, all who have trusted the gospel of grace, that Christ died for our sins and rose again, is a member of the one body. Believers are joined to Christ and made members of the body of Christ the moment they believe. The body is made up of Jews and Gentiles without distinction, as Paul wrote in this letter, that Christ has made in himself of twain, or Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. Within the revelation that Christ gave to Paul is the truth of the one body. The one body is unique to the epistles of Paul. No other writer of Scripture mentions the church, the body of Christ. It was a truth unknown before Paul. The one body is the church of this present dispensation of grace. And the body of Christ is the focus and the people of God for His eternal purposes for the heavens. When Paul says that there is one body, that is not an exhortation, it is a declaration. The meaning is not, let us be united in one body, but instead that under grace, there's one body, the body of Christ. That's the one true church today, and we need to unite under that truth. Second, Paul wrote that there is one Spirit. Doctrine concerning the Holy Spirit and His work under grace is the source of much division in the church. But the truth of the one Spirit and His current working in the dispensation of grace is to be a unifying doctrine for the church. The one Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, indwells every believer in the one body. Paul asked the church in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God?" Every believer is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that dwells in me as a believer dwells in you as a believer, and dwells in every single member of the church, the body of Christ, and that makes us one. Believers individually are temples of the Holy Spirit, and believers collectively are one temple in the Lord. Earlier in this letter, Paul wrote, "In whom," or Christ, "all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." 1 Corinthians 12:13 refers to the work of the Spirit at the moment of salvation and how He baptizes, or He fully identifies, joins, and places us and makes us members of the one body. Under grace, the Holy Spirit is the seal of all who believe the gospel of the grace of God. He is your seal. He's my seal. He's the seal of all in the church. Thus, He joins us to the church, and He makes us members of the one body forever. In Ephesians 1:13, Paul wrote, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." In this letter of Ephesians, Paul tells us that we can be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The Spirit works in and through our inner man to empower the believer under grace to serve the Lord, to strengthen us to put off the old man and put on the new. As we yield to the Spirit, the one Spirit produces His fruit of goodness and righteousness and truth in our lives. And the one Spirit under grace enlightens us to God's truth in His Word and what it means to our lives. He can illuminate to illumine to us what the unity of the Spirit entails in each of its seven elements and how it applies to this current dispensation of grace. And the one Spirit can enlighten us to how He works under grace, which is quietly, but powerfully, behind the scenes, pointing the church to Christ, working through His Word and prayer. Third, Paul wrote, "Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." We are members of the same church, the one body. We are each indwelt by the same one Spirit. And each of us in the church have the exact same hope. Every member of the body of Christ is called to one destiny, heaven. Israel has an earthly hope and calling. They have a promised land, a glorious kingdom on earth to look forward to with Christ, their King, ruling over them and the world. However, for us in the one body, Ephesians 2:6 tells the church that God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:5 teaches the church of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Our one hope is heaven. Our calling is to live and reign in Christ in heaven forever. In Ephesians 1:17-18, Paul prayed for the body of Christ, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. There are many who think our hope and calling is the kingdom on the earth. There are others who think that we'll go to heaven for a little while and then we'll come back for the kingdom on the earth. There are still others who believe we'll be in the New Jerusalem, dwelling in that glorious city on the new earth for the eternal state. But God wants His church enlightened and joined in heart and mind and understanding the one hope of your calling. Not the calling that is for the believing, that is for believing Israel on the earth. He wants you to see, He wants you to know from His Word that your eternal home and hope in the body of Christ is heaven. By God's grace, heaven is God's eternal inheritance for the redeemed in the one body. He wants us united and joined and rejoicing together in that one hope of our calling. Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:11, "In whom," which is Christ, "also we meaning believers in the body of Christ, have obtained an inheritance," which is heaven, "being predestinated," or by God determining beforehand that heaven is the hope of believers in the body of Christ, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And after the counsel of His own will, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And being seated means that we will remain there. We will dwell in heaven forever. We know that because after stating that we, the body of Christ, is seated in heavenly places, the very next verse says that in the ages to come, in our seated position in the heavenlies, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:5-6 says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Fourth, Paul wrote that there is one Lord. Our one Lord is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lordship speaks of authority. Christ is the truest and highest authority of all, and He is our sovereign master and ruler and Lord. The same Lord that is over me is over you and is over all of us in the church. In light of His coming from heaven to die the death of the cross, Philippians 2:9-11 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As believers, we willingly accept his lordship over us. We gladly bow the knee to him in submission and worship, and we gladly confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Our Lord is our Savior, who paid for our sins and bought us by his shed blood. We belong to him, and he has the right to rule over us as our Lord and our Savior. Spiritual oneness in the church results as we put our focus and our praise upon our one Lord, and as we grow to know him more and are conformed to his image. We are all called to live for our one Lord and for his glory. We are constrained by his love to serve him and others. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at God's own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. The unity of the Spirit as it relates to our one Lord is to follow and obey him according to what our Lord is doing today in the dispensation of grace. Many desire and attempt to follow the one Lord, but according to his earthly kingdom teachings for Israel under the law. But when the unity of the Spirit says there is one Lord, it means in relation to his current heavenly ministry under grace, in his exaltation far above all, he has sovereign authority over the church of today, the body of Christ. The Lord rules and reigns supreme over it. The one Lord is our living head. Ephesians 5:23 states that Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Christ rules preeminent over the church. The church is his. It is his body. Christ as Lord has absolute authority over it. And he rules, he directs, guides, controls, and governs it. And the church is led by the one Lord as we follow and apply the grace instruction he has revealed for it in the pages of Paul's epistle. Fifth, Paul wrote that there is one faith. This one faith includes, first, the gospel of salvation for the current dispensation of grace, a gospel that is called the gospel of the grace of God. This is the one way to God today. This gospel is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This gospel is faith alone in Christ, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. The moment one personally trusts this good news of salvation, they are saved by God's grace through their faith. No works, no confession of sins, no water baptism, no turning from your sins, just faith alone in Christ. And at this moment of salvation, of personal faith in the one Lord, or Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one Spirit, by the one baptism, places the believer in the one body and gives them one hope of heaven. But this one faith is vital for the church to understand under grace, because it is the faith that explains and teaches about each part of the unity of the Spirit under grace. One faith refers to the body of grace truth that was committed to Paul by the risen, exalted one Lord for this current age, which Paul calls the revelation of the mystery. Earlier in this letter, Paul wrote that Christ, by revelation, made known unto Paul the mystery. This faith, the mystery, had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, Paul told the Colossians. And Paul wrote the Corinthians, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And you put all that together, the mystery is the faith, the body of truth for the current dispensation of grace. This wisdom was planned and ordained by God before the world, but was hidden. Hidden God, never revealed until Christ revealed it first to Paul. This wisdom concerns the glory of the church, the body of Christ, and our hope and our blessings in Christ. This one faith explains the truth of the one body, the church under grace, which is not mentioned outside of Paul's letters. This one faith explains how the one Spirit works and operates under grace, and how He enlightens believers to this truth in His Word. The one faith explains the one hope, the hope of heaven, which is not a hope made known in the rest of Scripture for Israel, which concerns the kingdom on the earth is their hope. The one faith teaches about the one Lord and His ministry at God's right hand as the head of the church. And the one faith is the direct will of the one Lord that He revealed for His church, the body of Christ. The one faith is the body of truth found in the letters of Paul. And the church is called here to unite under the one faith for this age. Sixth, Paul wrote that there is one baptism. While the subject of baptism has greatly divided the church, God would have it united under the one baptism. To find the truth regarding the one baptism, we must look to the one faith to define it. The word baptism refers to thorough and complete identification. It means to be identified with, joined to, united perfectly with. Ephesians and Paul's epistles often refer to the preposition of in Christ and in Him. How a person is placed into Christ and spiritually united with Him and is so thoroughly and completely identified with Him so that the Word of God says that we are actually in Christ is through the one baptism. It is the one Spirit who carries out the one baptism under grace. And every single believer has experienced the one baptism. Though we don't see it or feel it, the moment we trust Christ as our personal Savior, we are baptized at that moment, baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. Through the one spiritual baptism, the believer is identified completely with and united eternally to Christ and is placed into the one body, the church. Again, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized. That's the one baptism into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. The one faith teaches that the one baptism is by the one Spirit, which places us into the one body and joins us to the one Lord. And due to that inseparable union, we have one hope and we have an eternal relationship with the one God. And this one divine spiritual baptism, this glorious baptism, unites us with Christ and His finished work. Romans 6:3-4 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, that is spiritually by the Spirit, into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Colossians 2:12 adds that we are buried spiritually with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen spiritually, that is, with Him. The moment you believe the gospel, the Holy Spirit unites you with Christ and with His death, with His burial, and with His resurrection. And that being so, you have newness of life and you are complete in Him. Seventh, Paul wrote that there is one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. And the unity of the Spirit Paul has said that there is one Spirit, or God the Holy Spirit, and there is one Lord, or God the Son, and then completing the Trinity and the unity of the Spirit, Paul says that there is one God and Father of all. The unity of the Spirit revolves around all three members of the Godhead, and they're working currently under grace. Verse 6 refers to God the Father and His relationship to all believers in the church. The all in this verse refers to all the body. It is one what is common to all in the church. God is the Father of all the body of Christ, who is above all the body and through all the body and in all the body. God is the Father of all the church. As believers, we each have God as our Father, and we are the children of God. God is sovereign. He is above. He's over all the church. He acts and He works through all the church, and He dwells in all believers in the church. One commentator put it well, that comprehensive statement points to the glorious, divine, eternal unity that the Father gives believers by His Spirit and through the Son. We are God created, God loved, God saved, God fathered, God sustained, God filled, and God blessed. We are one people under one sovereign. The unity of the Spirit teaches us that we are all part of the same church, the one body. The one Spirit dwells in every member of that one body. Every member of the one body has the same heavenly hope. We each have the same Lord. We all have one faith to follow and live by in the church. And we are joined to the body by the same spiritual baptism. And in that one body, we all bow and worship and have a relationship with the one God and Father who is above us all. He's through us all and in us all.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society. Now, until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.